Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm probably a lot like many of you in that I have a routine that I go through pretty much every morning. Most mornings look exactly the same for me. You guys, anyone have kind of a normal routine? So my routine, I usually wake up right around the same time. I go to the gym. I work out. I come back. I grab a cup of coffee. Short devotional, take a shower, pack my lunch, so on and so forth, right? I'm sure you all have kind of your own little routines that you go through. And during those days, and I have my routines that I go through, I have very routine thoughts that go through my head, right? Namely, why did I set my alarm so early? That's usually the first thing that kind of goes through my head pretty much every week. Do I really need to go to the gym? It's another question that goes through my head. You know, what do I want to make for lunch, right? These are things that go through our minds kind of on a routine basis, you know, each day in, day out. They're things that we got, you know, they're tasks that we have to do, things that we have to do and focus on. They're things that we care about, things have to do with our work, our friends, our family, our lives. Now, I would venture to guess that if I asked you kind of what your routine thoughts were on a day-to-day basis, most of you would probably not say that you wake up every morning going, I am righteous. Is that routine for you? It's not really for me, personally. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're like, man, that's like the first thing that comes into your head when you wake up in the morning. It's not for me. The thought of being righteous is not exactly my routine thought day in and day out. During this series, as we go through the book of Galatians and we are looking at identity, we're focusing on different aspects of what our identity is in Jesus. And so we looked at baptism last week and that you are baptized, and in that you have been clothed with Christ. You have an identity in Christ in your baptism. And today we're looking at being righteous. That's a part of your identity. You in Jesus are righteous. But this idea of being righteous, while I think it's something that's central to the biblical message, is really not, I think, something that's central to what we think about in our normal lives, right? I think it's a concept that's kind of foreign to us for the most part. It seems to be this kind of abstract thing. What does it mean to be righteous? And it's hard to wrap our minds around it. And let's face it, you know, we're kind of preoccupied. You know, we're just trying to get by. We're trying to get through the day, and whether or not we are righteous is probably not kind of where we're at on a day-to-day basis. That's not something that we're working through in our hearts and dealing with. And that might be you this morning. That might be where you're at. You're like, I don't really care about being righteous. What does that have to do with me? That's not something I think about from time to time either. I don't really know if it's something that I spend a lot of time thinking about. But I think it is so important as we look at the book of Galatians, as we look at Scripture, to understand this concept of righteousness. Because it's integral not only to who we are as Christians, but it's central to who we are as human beings, created in the image of God. Righteousness has to do with being human and being in a right relationship with our Creator. But when we talk about righteousness, that's not really what we typically think of. I think most people across the world, when they hear the word righteous or righteousness, I think the immediate thought kind of goes to morality. You know, moral rightness. If you do the right things, more right things than wrong things, you are righteous. That's what it means to be righteous, right? And it makes me think of like a credit and debit line. Right, you have kind of the pluses and minus. Don't ask me which one is which. I was going to kind of draw this out, and Amy said that no one would be able to read it. So you can thank Amy for having the slides this morning. But it makes me think of a credit and debit line, right? So we have the pluses on one side, the positive side of things, and we have the negative side on the other side. And the idea is I want to have more plus than minus. We want to have more positive than negative so that it counteracts and counterbalances our line, and that's what it means to be righteous, right? That's the goal here. And really, if you think about it, this kind of scale makes a whole lot of sense, right? The more positive you do outweighs and counterbalances the negative. It makes sense because this is how the world works. This is how things happen. This is how things work. It makes sense to us. And this is exactly where the Galatians are at when Paul writes this letter to them. Paul has brought this beautiful message of grace and forgiveness to the Galatians, and Paul hears that they have abandoned that for more or less a system like this. You got to do the right things to counteract the wrong things. And so in Galatians chapter 3, this is what Paul says. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" See, here's the problem with a system like this. We're gonna turn in our Bibles to Galatians 3, verse 10. This is our reading from this morning. It's on page 973 if you want to follow along. So here's the problem with this. Paul kind of lays it out in these four verses here, starting with verse 10. Paul writes to the Galatians, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.' So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." And so as we look at some of those four verses, we really have kind of two things going on here. Here's kind of what Paul is getting at here. We have the law, and we have faith. And these are kind of two competing ideas through Galatians, and specifically right here. And so the law, we're going to focus on that for a moment, the law. The law is kind of shorthand for God's will for us in our lives. This is what God wants for us. And in specific, in context here, Paul is talking about these rituals and these customs and these laws that God has laid out for his people throughout the Old Testament. And so Paul's point here is, okay, here's how it works. If you follow the law, you will be righteous. Right? You see that? If you follow the law, you're going to be righteous. But here's the deal. If you don't follow the law, you're cursed. Cursed by your sin to death. That's the deal. We have the law, it's been given to us, and if we follow it, you're good to go. If you don't, you're cursed. So the question is, can you follow the law? And in verse 10, this is what Paul says. He says, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things." Some of the things? No. All things in the law, and do them. It's not a pick or choose scenario. It's all or nothing. So the question is, can we, as fallible creatures, sinful, broken, and imperfect, uphold, fulfill, and abide the entirety of God's law? Now, not too long ago, we just went through a series on the Ten Commandments. So I feel, as I have gone through that, I'm confident in saying, no, I cannot. Can't speak for you. Actually, I can. No, you cannot. You cannot. We can't do it. We can't uphold and abide by the entirety of the law. It's too much. It's too hard. It's too heavy. That burden is too much for us. And James 2, verse 10 says that whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Yikes. So if we find ourselves in this camp, relying on the law, relying on ourselves and the things that we can do with our own energy and our own effort, trying to stack up points on the positive side of things to outweigh the negative. Guess what? If there's one single mark in that negative line, you're toast. You're done. Inevitably, each and every one of us are going to be found guilty. And that's what Paul is trying to avoid for the Galatians here in chapter 3. And I think Paul, he's trying to avoid that reliance on the law, but I think he's also trying to get the Galatians out of this kind of linear, legal type of thinking about righteousness. Because I think Paul's other point is this kind of linear legal thing is not how righteousness works. Biblically speaking, as we talk about righteousness, as we see it in Scripture, righteousness is about a relationship. Being righteous is about having a relationship between us and our Creator God, our God who has created us and He loves us. Being righteous means being in a right relationship with our Creator. It's not about a score. It's not about being the best that we can be. It's about being right with the one who created us. And the only ways that we can do that, the only ways that we can be right with our Creator, there's really two ways. Either one, we abide by the law, uphold the law as He's made it known to us, or to put our faith in the one who has. To put our faith in the one who does and can uphold the law. There's two ways to be righteous, by law or by faith. And there's only one who is capable of doing the former. In Galatians 3, we read, "The righteous shall live by faith." Faith in Jesus. Jesus, who came to accomplish the law, because we can't. Jesus, who took our curse of sin that we received because we did have tick marks in the negative side, and we received that curse. Jesus took that curse of our sin and our shame by dying on that cursed tree on that Good Friday through His crucifixion. Jesus, who by His blood we are cleansed from our guilt and shame and made new in the glorious resurrection from the dead. Because He is risen, and in Him we have life. These are the promises that we have in Christ Jesus. In Jesus, I am free. In Jesus, I am forgiven. In Jesus, I am alive. In Jesus, I am righteous. By faith in Jesus, my relationship with my Creator has been restored. I am now in a right relationship with Him so that I can see Him not as a God out to get me, but as a loving Father who sees me as a beloved child. By faith in Jesus, in Christ alone, you are righteous. Which for me begs the question. Because if we are righteous apart from anything that we do, then why do anything at all? And maybe that's just me. Maybe that's how I think. But if I am righteous apart from anything I do, why do anything at all? It's really pretty simple. Because of love. For love. It's out of love that we do these things, that we act in righteous ways. I think the best example I can think of is in a marriage. So I love my wife. And let's just say, and this would never happen, that I do something that annoys her. I do something that causes her some frustration. And she makes it known to me that she would prefer that I would do that differently or not at all. How do I, as a loving husband, respond? You see, I could do nothing differently at all. After all, we're already married. I've already convinced her to marry me. She's already stood before God and in front of all those people and promised to love me no matter what. What do I possibly have to gain? Now, based on all those laughs, I'm assuming you know that's not how it works, right? But if that happens and she brings something to me, I do it. And not out of obligation, but because I love her. And because I want these things for her. I want her to be happy. And so I act out of love for her. The same is true for our loving relationship with God. Because in Jesus, you are declared righteous because of his love for you. Being righteous in Jesus, you are not obligated to do anything else for salvation. It's yours. You are righteous in Jesus. It's yours. But we also know that God desires for us to love our neighbor. And it's not for his sake. It's not for our sake. We don't get anything out of it. For the sake of our neighbor, to know and share the love of Jesus with those around us. And so we do. It was for his love, God's love, that Christ has set us free. He set us free from the law. And so when you are declared righteous in Jesus, you do righteous things. You do things befitting of someone who has been declared righteous in Jesus. And it's not out of fear. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of any sort of sense of balancing the score or putting more marks in your positive side, but rather it's because of love. In grateful love of what Jesus has done for us, but also in hopeful love. In hopeful love of what our neighbors might experience. That they too might know the love of Jesus. That they too might know what it means to be righteous and be in a right relationship with God, our Father and Creator. May it be so through us and in Jesus' name. Amen. Close our worship service.